Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can you all hear me okay? Hey, again, Sabbath blessings. If we all can kneel, please do so. We are going to pray. Please bow your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with this holy Sabbath day each week and for changing of the showbread. Please bridle my tongue and all that may speak on your behalf, that you alone and the Godhead family are glorified. Thank you so much for being in the midst of us, and blessing us with your words of truth. We uplift all the prayer requests to you from the minds and hearts of your people, and thank you so much for answering it, whether it be a yes or no, because you know what is best for us and what glorifies you. Please help us to perfect our characters in accordance to your will, that we may become recipients of the latter rain, for we are unworthy. We offer this prayer unto you to the best of our ability in the name of your only begotten Son, our righteousness, our eternal King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's study, this is the part 3 of the importance of camp meeting and gatherings. As we approach the end of the Earth's history, majority of the people in this fallen world do not recognize the work of the Holy Spirit. And by doing that, the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ is not also being honored by the so-called Christian churches of today, or the Isaiah 4:1 types, for they do not obey His law. Most churches of today do not keep Sabbath. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is slowly withdrawing Himself from the world as He is continuing being ignored by billions due to practice of iniquity by the majority of the people. Brothers and sisters, let us pray and strengthen one another to put away worldliness, selfishness, covetousness, and other sins which are being used by Satan to lure God's people to sin, and that will prevent us from receiving the latter rain. Everything starts within ourselves, as we are our worst enemy. Christ gave His life for us, in that Calvary. And every drop of His blood during the time of His severe agony should not be taken for granted. In Review and Herald, March 2, 1897, paragraph 4, it says, "Many have in a great measure failed to receive the former rain. They have not obtained all the benefits that God has thus provided for them. They expect that the lack will be supplied by the latter rain, when the richest abundance of grace shall be bestowed. They intend to open their hearts to receive it. They are making a terrible mistake." So before we continue, if we have not been studying the Word of God diligently, daily, and to keep our lamps trimmed, our own neglect proved that God cannot use us to proclaim His present truth to those that are still in darkness when the latter rain falls. if we think that once a week of Bible studying, or whether we feel like attitude, less praying, we will be setting ourselves for failure and be found wanting as the result of our own deeds. So to continue, the work that God has begun in the human heart in giving His light and knowledge must be continually going forward. Every individual must realize his own necessity. The heart must be emptied of every defilement and cleansed for the indwelling of the Spirit. It was by the confession and forsaking of sin, by earnest prayer and consecration of themselves to God, that the early disciples prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The same work, only in greater degree, must be done now. Then the human agent had only to ask for the blessing and wait for the Lord to perfect the work concerning him. It is God who began the work, and He will finish the work, making man complete in Jesus Christ. But there must be no neglect of the grace represented by the former rain. Only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling on the hearts around us, but we shall not discern or receive it. We don't want to be in that group that not even discerning that the rain is already falling. So what are the results of neglect? Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, page 296, paragraph 2 and 3. Wherever a church is established, all the members should engage actively in missionary work. They should visit every family in the neighborhood and know their spiritual condition. If professed Christians had engaged in this work from the time when their names were in place on the church books, there would not now be such widespread unbelief, such depths of iniquity, such unparalleled wickedness as is seen in the world at the present time. If every church member had sought to enlighten others, thousands upon thousands would today stand with God's commandment-keeping people. And not only in the world do we see the result of the church neglect to work in Christ's lines. By this neglect, a condition of things has been brought into the church that has eclipsed the high and holy interests of the work of God. A spirit of criticism and bitterness has come into the church, and the spiritual discernment of many has been dimmed. Because of this, the cause of Christ has suffered great loss. Heavenly intelligences have been waiting to cooperate with human agencies, but we have not discerned their presence. So, brothers and sisters, the blessings of the early rain that we received when we decided to follow our Savior Jesus Christ must be taken seriously in our walks. We are to give so much importance for every blessing that He bestowed upon us. And by obedience to all His requirements, especially His Ten Commandments, we will receive more blessings from Him, especially the latter rain. Luke chapter 16 verse 10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Reviewing Herald March 2, 1897, paragraph 5, it says, "At no point in our experience can we dispense with the assistance of that which enables us to make the first start. The blessings received under the former reign are needful to us to the end. Yet those alone will not suffice. While we cherish the blessing of the early reign, we must not, on the other hand, lose sight of the fact that without the latter reign, to fill out the ears and ripen the grain, the harvest will not be ready for the sickle, and the labor of the sower will have been in vain. Divine grace is needed at the beginning, divine grace at every step of advance, and divine grace alone can complete the work. There is no place for us to rest in a careless attitude. We must never forget the warnings of Christ. Watch unto prayer. Watch and pray always. A connection with the divine agency every moment is essential to our progress. We may have had a measure of the Spirit of God, but by prayer and faith, we are continually to seek more of the Spirit. It will never do to cease our efforts if we do not progress, if we do not place ourselves in an attitude to receive both the former and the latter rain. We shall lose our souls, and the responsibility will lie at our own door. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshings shall come from the presence of the Lord." I will share Testimonies to the Church, Volume 6, page 291, paragraph 2 and 3. It says, this is about need of repentance. "It is now high time that we repent. All the people of God should interest themselves in the work of doing good. They should unite heart and soul in earnest endeavor to uplift and enlighten their fellow men. They should put on the wedding garment that Christ has provided, that they may be prepared to work in His lines. They should not receive the grace of God in vain. With humble, devoted reverence, they should labor on the right hand and on the left, consecrating to God their entire service and all their capabilities. There must be an awakening among the people of God. The entire church is to be tested. The worldly wise man who meditates and plans and whose business is ever in his mind should seek to become wise in matters of eternal interest. If he would put forth as much energy to secure the heavenly treasure and the life which measures with the life of God, as he does to secure worldly gain, what could he not accomplish? The unfaithful steward did not enrich himself with the master's goods. He merely wasted them. He let idleness take the place of sincere, wholehearted labor. He was unfaithful in the appropriation of his Lord's goods. Unfaithful steward, do you not see that you will lose your soul if you do not cooperate with God and make the most of your talents for the Master? Your mind was given that you might understand how to work. Your eyes were given that you might be keen to discern your God-given opportunities. Your ears are to listen for the commands of God. Your knees are to bow three times a day in heartfelt prayer. Your feet are to run in the way of God's commandments. Thought, effort, talent should be put into exercise that you may be prepared to graduate into the school above and hear from the lips of one who has overcome all temptations in our behalf the words, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then shalt thou also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by." It's from Revelation chapter 3 verse 21, Zechariah chapter 3 verse 7. If you do not cooperate with the Lord by giving yourself to him and doing his service, you will be judged unfit to be a subject of his pure heavenly kingdom. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1, it says, "Ask ye the Lord, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every grass in the field." So, grass in prophecy is people, man's heart, or wicked people. So, brothers and sisters, when we pray earnestly for the latter rain and humble ourselves for the Lord, he can use us as his instruments to trim the grass on his vineyard with his present truth, and the Holy Spirit converts the hearts of men from wickedness to righteousness. Psalms chapter 102, verse 4, it says, "My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, it says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." Psalm 129, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up." Psalms 92, verse 7, it says, "When the wicked springs as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever." So, brothers and sisters, we are to ask the Lord for the latter rain. Review and Herald, March 2, 1897, paragraph 6, it says, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Do not rest satisfied that in the ordinary course of the season, rain will fall. Ask for it. The growth and perfection of the seed rest not with husbandmen. God alone can ripen the harvest, but man's cooperation is required. God's work for us demands the action of our mind, the exercise of our faith. We must seek his favors with the whole heart if the showers of grace are to come to us. We should improve every opportunity of placing ourselves in the channel of blessing. Christ has said, 'Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst.' The convocations of the church, as in camp meetings, the assemblies of the home church, and all occasions where there is personal labor for souls, are God's appointed opportunities for giving the early and the latter rain." So the camp meetings is not some type of vacation that one may only take a break from practicing iniquity for a moment, then go back at it after the gathering is over. It's not how it works. The Lord is merciful and has compassion towards us, to help us, to guide us, and to keep us not to place ourselves in an unsafe situation spiritually, that we may prepare ourselves to stand before Him during these meetings. Review and Herald, March 2, 1897, paragraph 7, it says, "But let none think that in attending these gatherings, their duty is done. A mere attendance upon all the meetings that are held will not in itself bring a blessing to the soul. It is not an immutable law that all who attend general gatherings or local meetings shall receive large supplies from heaven. The circumstances may seem to be favorable for a rich outpouring of the showers of grace, but God Himself must command the rain to fall. Therefore, we should not be remiss in supplication. We are not to trust to the ordinary working of providence. We must pray that God will unseal the fountain of the water of life, and we must ourselves receive of the living water. Let us, with contrite hearts, pray most earnestly that now, in the time of the latter rain, the showers of grace may fall upon us. At every meeting we attend, our prayer should descend that at this very time, God will impart warmth and moisture to our souls. As we seek God for the Holy Spirit, it will work in us meekness, humbleness of mind, a conscious dependence upon God for the perfecting latter rain. If we pray for the blessing in faith, we shall receive it, as God has promised. So brothers and sisters, if we trim our lamps daily with the oil, the Holy Spirit, our characters and hearts, by God's grace, will be ready when it is time to attend these camp meetings. Let us all practice daily the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ from His Word, that we may reflect Him everywhere. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Matthew chapter 25, verse 7, it says, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Review and Herald, March 2, 1897, paragraph 10, it says, "This is the work that the Lord would have every soul prepared to do at this time. When the four angels are holding the four winds, that they shall not blow until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. There is no time now for self-pleasing. The lamps of the soul must be trimmed. They must be supplied with the oil of grace. Every precaution must be taken to prevent spiritual declension, lest the great day of the Lord overtake us as a thief in the night. Every witness for God is now to work intelligently in the lines which God has appointed. We should daily obtain a deep and living experience in the work of perfecting Christian character. We should daily receive the holy oil that we may impart to others. All may be light bearers to the world if they will. We are to sink self out of sight in Jesus. We are to receive the word of the Lord in counsel and instruction, and gladly communicate it. There is no need of much prayer. Christ commands, pray without ceasing. That is, keep the mind uplifted to God, the source of all power and efficiency." Review and Herald, March 2, 1897, paragraph 11. "We may have long followed the narrow path, but it is not safe to take this as proof that we shall follow it to the end. If we have walked with God in fellowship of the Spirit, it is because we have sought Him daily by faith. From the two olive trees, the golden oil flowing through the golden pipes has been communicated to us. But those who do not cultivate the Spirit and habit of prayer cannot expect to receive the golden oil of goodness, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, love. So brothers and sisters, two olive trees, as we all learn from the Word of God, are the two witnesses, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the Holy Spirit is the oil. So without fervent prayer and diligent Bible study, our walk will be as of hay, wood, and stubble. Revelation chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth." So to keep our lamps trimmed, we must study the Word of God daily, diligently, verse by verse. Learn every word, taking our time, asking the Holy Spirit to help us. The Holy Spirit will not come if we're not serious in our walks. Because if we're not studying, the help will not come. The Review and Herald, February 3, 1903, it says, "Oil conveyed through messages." It's from Zechariah, quoted from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, and verses 11 to 14, quoted. "By the holy beings surrounding his throne, the Lord keeps up a constant communication with the inhabitants of the earth. The golden oil represents the grace with which God keeps the lamps of believers supplied. Were it not that this holy oil is poured from heaven, in the messages of God's Spirit, the agencies of evil would have entire control over men. God is dishonored when we do not receive the communications that He sends us. Thus we refuse the golden oil which He would pour into our souls to be communicated to those in darkness." So by studying the Word of the Lord daily, that's how He communicates with us. That's how we know what His will for us, if there's anything that we inquire of Him. Review and Herald, March 2, 1897, paragraph 12. It says, "Everyone is to keep himself separate from the world, which is full of iniquity. We are not to walk with God for a time and then part from His company and walk in the sparks of our own kindling. There must be a firm continuance, a perseverance in acts of faith. We are to praise God, to show forth His glory in a righteous character. No one of us will gain victory without persevering, untiring effort, proportionate to the value of the object which we seek, even eternal life." As Pastor Nicholas shared, Easter.net is a free Bible study program for Windows, and you can also download that from your phone. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 7, page 248, paragraph 3, it says, "God does not accept the most splendid service unless self is laid upon the altar, a living, consuming sacrifice. The root must be holy, else there can be no sound, healthy fruit, which alone is acceptable to God. The heart must be converted and consecrated. The motives must be right. The inner lamp must be supplied with the oil that flows from the messengers of heaven through the golden tubes into the golden bowl. The Lord's communication never comes to man in vain. So brothers and sisters, when we strive for that perfection and to be united in Christ in one accord, our confidence in Christ alone shall increase, that we may seek the double portion of the Spirit, like the prophet Elisha did. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 9, it says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Review and Herald, March 2, March 2, 1897, page 13, it says, "The dispensation in which we are now living is to be, to those that ask the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, ask for His blessing. It is time we were more intense in our devotion. To us is committed the arduous but happy, glorious work of revealing Christ to those who are in darkness. We are called to proclaim the present as the special truths for this time. For all this, the outpouring of the Spirit is essential. We should pray for it. The Lord expects us to ask Him. We have not been wholehearted in this work." Review and Herald, March 2, 1897, paragraph 14, it says, "What can I say to my brethren in the name of the Lord? What proportion of our efforts has been made in accordance with the light the Lord has been pleased to give? We cannot depend upon form or external machinery. What we need is the quickening influence of the Holy Spirit of God, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Pray without ceasing and watch by working in accordance with your prayers. As you pray, believe, trust in God. It is the time of the latter rain, when the Lord will give largely of His Spirit. Be fervent in prayer and watch in the Spirit." So brothers and sisters, let us prepare ourselves and let us press together without having any dispute one against another, and ask the Lord for the latter rain, especially when we gather together in person. Psalms chapter 133 verse 1, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And with that, I hope and pray that we are all blessed this Sabbath day. There will be one music, one song, and the next voice you shall hear will be of Brother Lawrence. Sabbath blessings and God bless.